Or I have to question, is having three martinis too much? Well, if you ask the question, that means it's probably too much.
Hello. Welcome to Yes, I'm Still Sober with John Raven. Episode 13. I don't know how long this is going to be. I'm exhausted. Girlfriend and I just got back from Chicago last night, and I never thought that I'd be so tired from just looking at shit. I guess also because, I don't know, what did she say? We took 16,000 steps or something, I don't know, yesterday. I'm exhausted. I can't wait to go to work to recover from vacation. It was a good time. Before I forget, I discovered something about myself that I used to wear sunglasses when I was younger because, not just because of the sun, but also, like most people, because you think it makes you look cool. I realized that now I prefer to wear sunglasses so that people don't see how much I despise them in my eyes. Like, I think it's my poker face is gone. Part of the thing about rehab is, and I'm sure I've mentioned this, but they work on getting you out of denial. Because you're pathological, you know. So a lot of what treatment is making you really honest and in touch with what is really going on with you. But they make you like super honest. So you like in group therapy and individual therapy and all that shit, and then they don't wheel it back. You're like extremely honest, and they throw you out in the world. I'm like, all right, now go try to get a job in a world where everyone lies. and you're just super honest walking around going, you know, hi, how are you? I'm just grasping the reality that one day I will die. Can I get a latte? Like, you just can't function. Sometimes it feels like. But yeah, so I don't... It's hard. Like, I had to quit. Like, I really quit playing poker because I just can't, you know, fake it. And I've been told, and I know that, like, I do not hide disdain very well. Like, if I'm really annoyed by you or really don't like, I can't just fake it and go, hi, it's nice to see you. Fucker, like you can't, like it's right there, you can see it. So I have to, especially on the plane and in the airport, I'm like wearing sunglasses. Oh, you must be hungover. No, he's just trying to get by without starting shit. That's basically what I discovered. It fantastic trip. Chicago's a real city. Like, it's a real city. Like, I haven't been on vacation. I haven't even left Texas in 12 years. And so I remember when we were walking around just going, man, it made me think that, I'm not saying Austin, Texas isn't a city, but it feels like it's dressing up. It's like kids playing house, you know, kind of a, it's like, we're a city. We've got public transportation, kinda. We're, look at us. But, no, Chicago's a real fucking city. And the plane ride up there and the plane ride back. The plane ride back was okay, except we had a couple behind us who brought their own food and it stunk. It's like it's a 2-hour flight. You can't go 2 hours without eating. And I got that couple back because you're supposed to be courteous and, you know, everybody wait and take your turn to get out of the aisle, grab your bags, you know, and it's an you're supposed to just, I don't know, you're supposed to be kind of courteous. And I was not courteous to them. I blocked them in their aisle, so they had to wait till we left to come out and get their bags. I was a dick, and it felt great. Like, I'm sure I looked like an asshole to other people, but I didn't really have the energy to go, no, they brought food, and it smelled really, really bad. My girlfriend got nauseous on the plane because of these assholes who couldn't eat their food while waiting. They had to eat it on the plane, so they get to wait. They get their bags late. Look, there's a reason that I'm being... I didn't care. I'm not going to see these people anymore, but the plane ride up there, there were three people sitting behind us that were the worst. There's a guy who said he was an exec VP for a company that split from Dell. And he's this California asshole. He's one of those California people that moved here recently, you know, bought a house in Round Rock and is already looking... Like, and he was talking to the couple that was sitting next to him. And the couple, she was a real estate agent and he was like a foreman for a construction company. And they talked really loudly. Like half the flight, they're just talking. And I stupidly forgot my headphones, my earbuds in my luggage. I couldn't get it because I was kind of pinned in. And because I don't drink anymore, I have extreme awareness of I can't tune out conversations. So I'm basically held hostage by three of the most boring people I've ever listened to. And they're just vultures, man. They just, everything's a dollar sign. Like all they could think about is how can I make money off of fucking up Austin anymore? Like this California prick is talking about how it's like, I'm trying to tell all my friends in California to move here. I'm like, fuck you, don't. Don't do it. And he just, you know, and the thing is that it sounded like he kept talking about how he was an exec VP, but he's figured out flying. And that's why he's wearing cargo shorts. And I'm like, fuck, cargo shorts. Of course he's wearing cargo shorts. He's the worst person. And I pictured what this guy looked like the longer he talked and droned on. And then when I got up to go to the bathroom, I looked and I went, oh, he looks exactly like I pictured him. Just this blobby, pale, sunburned, you know, splotchy white dude with thinning hair who's overweight, who just kind of sits there and goes, I'm alive. Like he looks like you could picture it. Like whatever you're picturing right now, that's what that fucker looks like. And the thing is that he was sitting in the cheap seats. What exec VP doesn't pay a little bit extra to sit in a better seat? Because I ended up doing that on the flight back. I found out that like if I paid an extra $24 that you could like to be 10 rows or, you know, closer and actually have more room. And I was exhausted yesterday and I'm like, fuck it. We came in under budget from this vacation. I'm paying $24. I'm paying the extortion fee to get the extra 2 inches or whatever to sit and to get off the plane that much quicker. So I did that. And I'm like, why didn't that guy do that? Why is that guy paying the cheapest seat if he's an exec VP? Which means I think he's lying. I think he works for that company, but he's just bullshitting the, you know, it was like, this is how I'm successful. I want to invest in real estate. Tell me more about it. And I'm like, you're going to invest in real estate, but you can't invest in getting a better fucking seat where they serve you booze. Like if you paid $30 more, you could be drinking booze up at the front where you can kind of peer into first class and go, I'm almost there. I'm right there. So those fucking vultures, man, it's just, they were the worst people. I just spent a third of the podcast talking about how much I hope. That just boring. Like, the most exciting story he could talk about is having to kill a snake in his garage. Imagine that being the highlight of your life. You killed a snake in your garage in Williamson County. This is your life. That's it. Is this what you're saving money for? So you can tell people about that snake that you killed that you say is a rattlesnake, but it probably wasn't. It's probably a garden snake, but you're like, no, it's a, you know, it was. It was a baby rattlesnake. How do you know? You just moved here. You know what a fucking rattlesnake is. Goddamn California. Anyway, but Chicago is nice. We went and saw Hamilton. Yeah, that's right. I like musicals, they say. No, it... Here's the thing about Hamilton that I love. It's... Like, when it's a... They say it's a musical. It's a musical. Like, most musicals have a few songs in it. Like, it's a story, and then they break into song. This is a song that follows a song that follows a song. The whole musical is a bunch of songs. It's like 20-something songs? That's actually better. I think... I figured out that the part in musicals that I don't like is not the singing. It's the odd transition where you're trying to watch something and they're like acting, you know, it's like a normal thing, and then they break into song and then they break back into normal talking again. I think that's what I think I don't like the transition back and forth. But to go from song to song to song, and they were all great. Like it was, and also you felt kind of dumb. Because you're just sitting there watching the whole thing and you're like, wow, I didn't realize that that's what Alexander Hamilton did. I just knew he was on my money. You know, like you just didn't, you know, your whole life you're going, who's this asshole who's not a president that's on the $10 bill? Like you don't even know. It made the price of the tickets that you had to pay to watch this musical more palpable, because it's like, well, you know, but it's okay because I learned something. So, but I recommend if you've got the money to just throw, because I understand they're coming to Austin, but if you get a chance to go to see Hamilton and you like musicals, you have to see this one. Though you just have to. Did you see the game last night, Steve? Yeah. What'd you do when saw Hamilton? You would love it, bro. You totally got to go check out Hamilton. No, I'm telling you, bro. You got to check out... I don't know. Yeah. But really, you should check out Hamilton. It's pretty good. We dressed up. We look really nice. I saved all this money from not smoking. So that's the best way to... I know you got a budget, but the best way to do a vacation is where you have more than enough money for what you're doing that it doesn't matter. That's the best. Where you can just throw money at things. Let's get a lift. No, fuck those buses. No, it was cool. We got to get on the bus and like that was great. You want a bus back? Nah, man. Let's lift this shit. I got to go to the Art Institute of Chicago, and because, of course, there's a scene in Ferris Bueller where they're looking at art. So because of my childhood, I had to go look at the same paintings and statues that Ferris Bueller and Simone and Cameron looked at. I got to go see these same things, but... Totally did that. That was great, man. There's one painting I did want to see. Like the one I really wanted to see was Nighthawks. And if you do a Google search Nighthawks painting, you'll see the one I'm talking about. And you've seen it. But sure enough, it wasn't there. It was on loan to the Shanghai Museum. So it was literally Shanghai'd from me. That kind of stunk. And my girlfriend wanted to see Sue, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, which is the actual bone Tyrannosaurus Rex, at the Field Museum. but they were working on her new display room or whatever. So she was like behind glass and construction all around. So it was, so that kind of stunk, but it's fine. You know, you could still a lot to see. Great food. We ate at the oldest, Chicago's oldest Italian restaurant. Holy shit, that was great. It was just fantastic. Like, it, besides the food being great, I mean, the ambiance, like, it was so, like, serious Chicago Italians. It was really, you know, very, like, the maitre d' going, yeah, come this way. Hey, you know, like, not that cartoony, but like just pure, just grease back hair, just, yeah, come on, I'll hook you up kind of shit. It was so fucking great. I don't know what it is. It's that whole thing where you're I don't know, the accents you see on TV, you know, of a certain area, just like I'm sure people think about Texas. You know, that when you finally visit Texas, you're like, holy shit, there are cowboys here. Like, I'm sure it's the same thing. But, you know, you go into Chicago and there was somebody, there was a guy in the airport who's like trying to get his kid to, you know, they were going to go catch their flight. He's like, hey, pack up your bag. Like he totally was like the bears. Like, it was great. I was such a dumbass going, babe, he did the voice. Like, it's, yeah, John, yeah. You're in Chicago. Jesus. You know, every time it's like, hey, it's Lower Wacker Drive. Like, I was just like, babe, this is from the Blues Brothers. I'm like pointing every other thing. It's from the Blues Brothers. Richard J. Daley Plaza. That's where they got that Picasso. Yeah. And I totally, yeah, we saw some Picassos. I don't know. It was just, it's just fun. It's just fun to, everything that you know about Chicago is based on the Super Bowl, what, 1985, I think. You know, the Chicago Bears. You know, Second City. You know, and for me, it's like Ferris Bueller and Blues Brothers. Like, that's, I just like everybody else. You know, I got to play tourist for 3 days. I got to be the tourist. And that was, yeah. There was a hotel strike, hotel workers strike going on in Chicago. Had been going for a week. It's at this point probably about a week and a half now. But the reason that they're on strike is the union had them go on strike because they want to extend benefits for the workers during the winter months, because what they do is they lay off a lot of their staff during the winter months when it slows down, then they pick them up when it warms back up. So they're going on strike for more, you know, for the benefits to extend during the time that they're laid off. The hotels are pissed because they went on apparently they went on strike earlier than anticipated. Like, early in the negotiations, they immediately went on strike. Like, just, like, knee-jerk reaction, I guess. And I don't know. But the way they were protesting, so they're just marching out in front, just banging and, like, playing horns and shouting and banging drum. Like, really annoying as shit. And I don't know if it's because I live in Austin where people protest all the time, that I'm like, I didn't want to really protest, explain to these people, but I didn't want to go up and go, hey, we don't even know what you're doing. Like, they didn't have any kind of letting anybody know why they were protesting. I had to Google to find out. Like, I had to actually look in the news to find out. So that seems ineffective to me, but I don't think that that's really their point. I think that they're trying to annoy the people working there. And if they do it long enough, that they'll cave, I guess. But the thing is that the higher ups aren't at the hotel. You know, just because the grunts that are there are annoyed, the grunts are going to complain to management and go, hey, maybe give them more money. Maybe give in to their demands. And the management's going to go, oh, you're being, they're making your shitty job harder. Oh, well, I guess we will spend more money. I don't think they care. Also, the idea of protesting in front of a hotel, it's not like it's a business that sells like shoes where you don't have a lot of walk-ins. People don't walk by and go, hey, honey, we always wanted to stay at the Westin. Let's go do it now. Like it's people have reservations. Nobody's going to show up with their reservation and go, oh, wait a minute. People are protesting here. There's something afoot. Let's just cancel our reservation and go wander around and try to find a different hotel. It's not gonna disrupt anything. I don't understand. I don't think that's really. But you got to do something, I guess. I don't know. It's just what was funny is I had gone to get coffee one morning, and I was in an elevator with this rich guy and rich woman, older man, older woman, and I don't know if they were together. I don't think so, because he was dressed in golf gear and his golf clubs, and she looked like she was going to go out and do whatever. I don't know, but she was just like, they should hand out cards or something to, you know, at least let us know. You know, they shouldn't make all that racket. And he started going, well, you know, they're pushing for more, you know, extended benefits for during the layoff period, you know. And he was just, and I just kind of gone, yeah, that's what they're doing. And she goes, well, I don't like it. It's just, it's disruptive and it seems counterproductive to me. And then the doors open and she walks out. And the old man turns to me and he goes, well, there are two sides to every story, aren't there? And he rolls out and I went, yeah! Yeah, there are two sides! That's a super cool, understandable rich dude! Holy shit! What just happened? Like, I just expected him to go, you know, like to be Ted Knight from Caddyshack, just, you know, oh, these, on my golf course! Like, I just expected him to be a dick. But he was really understanding. I was like, well, no, there's two sides to every story. We just have to, you know. It's weird. Just the idea of somebody, like the rich guy voice, somebody to be totally reasonable. And he goes, well, you know, I think everybody deserves their rights. There's a lot of inequality in this country. And I think that everybody deserves a shot at the American dream. What? Holy shit. Enjoy the golf. But that was a thing. Hey, I discovered that I get antsy after 72 hours. A four-day vacation's too long. That's the big thing that I learned. 72 hours, I got to be around my shit. I got to be in my comfort zone. I'm so happy to be back. I'm so tired. But that's all I just wanted to talk about my thing that I did. You know, haven't been out of the state, haven't been on vacation 12 years, man. It was something. We did comedy there too. My girlfriend and I, we had a gig. We had a show on Sunday. And it was a show that, called Shithole. And, I know it sounds appealing, but that's the thing, is that the show was, unlike most shows that you see where people just promote it, and like, you know, really, really promote it, like, come out, here's the address, please come, ooh, drink specials for all. Like, they just, the poster just says, yeah, Shithole, tonight. Message for details. That's, yeah, you have to message them to find out where the show is. And then you gotta, you know, you go there, you know, you message them, they tell you where to go, like at the corner of this and this, and then call. And then they have to tell you where to go. It's like a drug deal. It was very nostalgic for me. I'm like, you know, I'm like meeting my, you know, it's like, I'm not buying anything. I'm just trying to perform. But that's the thing, is that it makes you, I think it makes you happy when you're there. You're like, yeah, I made it. I'm at the secret show kind of a thing. And it's a better energy. Everybody there is one of the best shows ever. Just everybody, regardless, because there was a whole lot of comics that performed and they, you know, from varying skill levels, and everybody had a good set, and it was just a great time. It's just doing the exact opposite of every show I've ever seen. And then we also did an open mic, which was interesting because the open mic was happening on Monday night during Monday Night Football when Chicago was playing in Chicago. So like the comics were upstairs in this room and downstairs in the tavern. People are going apeshit watching Chicago beat up on Seattle. And I kept going downstairs because I like that football. But open mics. Open mic is open mic. It's interesting to see an open mic, open micers in a different scene. Because they're different. You know, it's a different scene, so there's a different vibe. But it's the same kind of people. You got your same, like, I'm going to be the offensive guy. Look how edgy I am. Yeah, all right. You know, I'm the woke comic. There's just, it's the same tropes. It's cute. It's interesting. There was also, I got to eavesdrop on a conversation between two older comics. Got to remind me of me. Like 10 years ago. Like, I'm still kind of this way, but not, you know, at least I'm aware of it, so I kind of tone it down. You know, and just guys going, oh, I've got shit figured out. But they really don't. And this is not just comedy, but whenever you write, like, observe somebody, like, if you can, like, not get irritated with people and just sit there and just kind of observe them like it's a nature documentary, and it's... And you just watch somebody who talks about, you know, anything, whether it be politics or you know, comedy or whatever, and they're just like, oh, let me tell you, because I know, it's just screwed up. Everybody's doing this wrong. This is really what you're supposed to do. Anyway, I got to go sell donuts. So it's just adorable. I highly recommend it. Well, guys, thank you for letting me talk about Chicago. You should go, maybe, if you want. I had a great time. I will see you guys next week. Have a good week. I hope the weather cools down, because it's still hot in Austin. All right. John Raymond, this is Yes, I'm Still Sober. See you in a week.
A little smoke, a whole lot of loving. That's all I need. Make it through the night. Cold beer, cold shoulder. Just one glass of whiskey. That's all it takes. My heart.